Now, my friends on Talk Sport and Talk, next year marks a momentous anniversary for Brighton and Hove Albion, that fine football club, because June the 24th, 2026, will be the 125th anniversary of the football club's founding. This year, though, they celebrate 105 years in the Football League. So they're a Premier League side with an amazing history, and that story is to be the subject of a brilliant-sounding new exhibition at the Brighton Pavilion, opening there next year in August. To tell us more, I'm delighted to welcome to Talk Sport and Talk Hedley Swain, CEO of Brighton and Hove Museums, who joins us now. Good morning, Hedley. This is an amazing idea, a brilliant idea for an amazing club. And what an amazing venue. The Pavilion itself is going to be hosting this.
We're part of the Pavilion complex, but we're not actually in the Pavilion. We're in Brighton Museum, which is right next to the Pavilion.
So there's no statue of King George there with a Brighton scarf around his neck?
No, there isn't. But of course, I don't know if you know this. When the Albion had their first campaign in Europe last year, they did a special shirt, and they put the Royal Pavilion on that shirt,
yeah,
which was so amazing for us. You know, I think we're the only, you know, like museum service that have been on, you know, a Premier League football shirt. And that actually was sort of the beginning of the partnership when we were talking to them. And I said, early on, you know, they should have a presence in the city centre, because, of course, the Amex Stadium is a little bit out of the city centre.
Yeah.
You know, supporters, you know, travelling supporters, home supporters don't actually have to come into the centre of the city. They come in on the train station and go out. And what we said is there must be a presence for the Albion in the city centre. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to do a permanent exhibition to tell that story? And we started it. We had a little temporary exhibition that just told the story of the campaign in Europe. And that was so popular. And we were getting people in the museum, as you can imagine, you know, young lads and their dads that you don't normally see in a museum. And we thought, we've got to take this to the next stage. We've got to have a permanent gallery telling this story.
And how far along is planning for this next stage, Hedley? I mean, how many exhibits have you so far assembled, or is it still taking shape?
Well, the club themselves have always had a bit of a museum up at the Amex. And they've got their own sort of heritage society who have collected things. I think most football clubs have a kind of museum or a kind of archive. So there is a group of stuff there, and obviously they've got, you know, old shirts and trophies and things like that.
Sure.
But because the Albion story has been so linked to the community, and particularly this last 30 years from them losing the Goldstone and travelling around southeast England and finally coming back to the Amex, so many local people have got objects or memories associated with that story. And, you know, as a Londoner who's come to live in Brighton, you really get that sense that almost everyone in the city has a soft spot for the Albion. You know, when you go to the park, all the kids have got Albion shirts on. So it's a really, really special part of the city. And you said earlier on, you know, mentioned about the Pavilion, and, you know, people talk about, you know, what's the most iconic thing about Brighton, and you always think of the pier and the Royal Pavilion. But if I'm honest, you know, we all know the biggest brand at the moment for Brighton is the Albion.
And I know that one of many club legends, Guy Butters, has already contributed something rather special from the sound of it to this exhibition next year.
Well, if you know that, I didn't know that. Tell me what he's given. I met him last week. He came down for the announcement.
Well, according to your local paper, he's donated his playoff medal from the 2004 game against Bristol City at the Millennium,
brilliant,
which the Albion won 1-0 and got them promotion back to Nationwide Division 1, part of a journey back, because, you know, for a while it looked like they were going to endanger becoming a club that was going to become extinct.
Which is, again, part of the story. You know, it is such an amazing story. You couldn't make it up. You know, as you've said, not only losing the Goldstone and losing the ground, but going so close to going out of the league and then slowly coming back. Now under such brilliant ownership and such brilliant management the last few years.
I mean, the astonishing thing for me is that it's taken this amount of time for football. I mean, Spurs have got an exhibition, they've got an art gallery now attached to their newish stadium. Other clubs are falling into line about this. I wonder whether, as somebody who's involved so directly in the museum world, do you think football is a pursuit, a pastime, maybe even an art form that doesn't kind of recognise its own heritage and history enough?
I think it kind of does. And I think in the sense of personally, at a personal level, most football fans will have their own collection. They'll collect the programmes and things like that. But in a sort of institutional way, I think you're right. It's quite a new thing. And to partner with a proper, you know, a proper museum like we are, you know, we're the City Museum for Brighton. So for them to partner with us, and we can bring all of our expertise about how you do a great museum exhibition and how you reach out to people. So, you know, for me, it's just this brilliant thing of two really, really important Brighton and Hove institutions, the Royal Pavilion and Museums and the Football Club, working together on commemorating this really important part of Brighton's history. And I think, you know, a city's museum, it should be like your mantelpiece, you know? It should be the things that you want to remember and you want to be reminded of, as well as things that, you know, are really useful to you and make you feel happy.
Now, you mentioned the kind of the problematic, almost peripatetic history of Brighton before 1997, when they shared grounds with Gillingham for a while, actually, over in Kent, and there was a danger of the club going out of business. Looking far more healthy these days, an amazing force to reckon with, European football, that kind of stuff. You mentioned you came down from London. I'm then suspecting that maybe, although I'm sure you love the club, Brighton Hove Albion aren't your first love, football-wise, Hedley.
Well, it's tricky. The last, you know, recently working with the Albion and talking about this, and then sooner or later, everyone that says to me, oh, you know, what, you know, are you a supporter? You know, somebody from the local newspaper last week said, oh, what's your greatest memory of the Albion? And I have to say, well, I have to be absolutely honest. I don't support the Albion. I support a South East London team. And they all look at me with horror.
Oh, no, not Eagles versus Seagulls.
Then I admit I'm a Charlton Athletic fan and have been all my life. And they then, you know, big sigh of relief. And actually, there's been some lovely crossovers over the years. Steve Gritt, who managed us, managed them, saved them from going out of business. Yeah. Alan Kirbishley was a Brighton player and, you know, was our greatest manager. So actually, it's quite a nice link, I think.
I mean, Brighton's football history is, like many clubs, you know, an amazing mosaic of fantastic names. Brian Clough features in it, Alan Mullery, for those who know the, you know, old folk like me, will remember all those great years. Now, obviously, you don't want to be inundated with people offering you their Brighton Hove Albion ashtrays or rosettes or whatever back in the past. Are you in the market, though, to hear from people? If so, how might people contact you without inundating you, Hedley?
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think, you know, people have to imagine that, particularly as we're working with the club, there'll be no shortage of, you know, programmes and shirts and that sort of thing. I think what we're really interested in is if there are any just stories, personal stories. If somebody's got an amazing story of that they've been linked, or very an emotional story about that journey from the Goldstone to the Amex, or any really special things, by all means, contact us. But I, you know, going back to the point you made, I'll be honest, we get offered lots of things in museums that are very special to individuals, and sometimes it's better that they stay special to that individual. And the gallery will be special, but it won't be massive, and we don't want to fill it with objects. No. We want really important, iconic things to tell the story. What it's really about, it's about the story, and also it's about the emotions. You know, we don't want it to be dry and boring. We want people who go in it to, you know, get excited about being a Brighton fan and excited about being involved in that 30-year story. But, you know, going back, as you said, we'll be commemorating 125 years.
Hedley, you've been a fascinating guest, matey. Good luck with the forthcoming exhibition. I know it's a year away. We thought we'd get in early, get in first with the help of our mate, Hedley Swain there, who is the CEO of Brighton and Hove Museums, which is right next to the pavilion. If you've never been to Brighton, get out of the train station when you drive. And if you head for the seashore, head for the beach, head for the pier, you cannot miss the pavilion, which is also, I mean, an amazing place to look around, an amazing example of England's heritage and history and the colonial past and all that kind of stuff. And Hedley's the main man to talk to us about it. CEO of Brighton and Hove Museums, joining us now on Talk Sport and Talk. We'll be live till 5. Cheers, Hedley, and good luck with it, sir.